But would you look with me, Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8. As I mentioned, I thought we were going to be in chapter 9 today. A dear, dear friend of mine asked me some time ago, was I going to deal with chapter 9 and chapter 10 of the book of Ezra? And I said, yes. And then I read it and I said, now I know why he asked. But we will be looking at that, Lord willing, next Sunday. We'll look at that, start that. But here in chapter 8, just a review. Now, backing up just a moment, while I was out in deer camp, I took my fire along with me. I just love this. And I had taken my notes with me on Friday, and I did a lot of work for last Sunday. And then I forgot my notes in my notebook. When I went back and I did a lot of work for today and wrote it on an envelope. I know how Brother Rupert was. But now, do you think I can find that envelope? So, we'll do it. The book of Ezra, we need to do just a little bit of review as we've closed out chapter 7, and it dealt with the decree of Artaxerxes for those folks to go back and what was involved in that and what place Ezra was to play in that. And we noticed several messages dealt with Ezra as a type of Christ. Well, we dealt with chapter 8 before we went to chapter 7 or the bulk of it, but we left off the bottom part. So that's what we'd like to deal with today in chapter 8, beginning with verse 24. Chapter 8 and verse 24, and I might just say, before we enter into this, that the journey from Babylon to Jerusalem took 4 months. So, the distance is about 900 miles, and if you work that out, they traveled about 7.5 miles a day for 4 months. Just hold your finger right here in Ezra chapter 8 and back up to Ezra chapter 7 and verse 9. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, upon the first day of the first month, Ezra chapter 7 verse 9, upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. So there was about 4 months there. Now we get over to Ezra chapter 8, we find out that he got ready and found out that there was several folks that were not in the troop. And he waited a short time to get them all gathered up. And I'm so thankful that that speaks so highly that the Lord's return will not come until he has all the troop gathered together. Until he has all of his elect saved out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. And then it will be wrapped up. And so he points that out here. And it was on the 12th day of the month, if you'll notice here in the verse, chapter 8, I think it's verse 31, chapter 8 and verse 31. Notice there with me. And on the, verse 8, and he departed the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month. So he's made preparation on the first day. It took him 12 days to gather together the folks that were not with them, and on the first day of the month, and go to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy, and of such as lay in wait by the way. So they have arrived at Jerusalem. They have made their journey across the desert. They have traveled about 900 miles. They've traveled rather slowly. But when you consider doing walking all the way, and then for a few moments this morning, we want to look at what they carried along with them. Much of this had been taken out of the temple when Nebuchadnezzar overthrew Jerusalem over 70 years prior to this. Many of the vessels that were in the temple were taken out. And this was being carried back with them to the temple, and they were going to put it back in there like it originally was in the temple of Solomon. If you'll notice with me in verse 33 of this verse of scripture, back up to verse 32, and we'll just read that. It says, and we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now, I think if I had traveled 4 months by foot, 7.5 miles a day, I'd probably want to rest more than 3 days. But that's apparently what they did, and things needed to move along. And then it tells us there in that verse 33, it says, "And now on the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest, and with him was Eleazar the son of Phinehas, and with them was Jozabad the son of Jeshu, and Noadiah the son of Bimeah and Levites. And by number and by weight of every one of all the weight was written at that time." Now, when I read that in preparation for this message, I wondered, well, there's got to be some place. Well, yes, there is. Right back here in verse 26. Would you look with me in verse 26? It tells me here, "And I even weighed unto their hands 650 talents of silver." Now, in today's language, someone put it this way, 24 tons of silver taken from Babylon to Jerusalem. 7,500 pounds of silver articles. 7,500 pounds of gold. 20 gold bowls, equal value to 1,000 gold coins. 2 fine articles of polished bronze as precious as gold. Now that's another translation that puts it into a language that I have a little bit more knowledge of. Can you imagine for a moment carrying all of that precious metal from Babylon back to Jerusalem? No wonder it took them 4 months. And no wonder it took them 7.5 days per day, or 7.5 miles per day. Well, I'm just speculating there. But the thing that I want us to notice is that when they left Babylon, they had X amount. And when they arrived in Jerusalem and waited out, they had X amount. There was not the loss of 1 gram of silver, gold, or bronze. Nobody that was carrying it stuck it in the sand. Now, I remember my dad telling me one time that his father asked him to plant a field of corn. And he was not in the mood to plant a field of corn, so he planted a couple rows and put all the rest in one hill and left and told his dad, "I planted that field of corn." Well, it looked good until they all sprouted. And then his dad knew exactly what he had done. Couple rows looked good, and then a pile growing in one place. Well, needless to say, it had to be done over again. Well, we find out that here, when these children of Israel left, that they all took what was required, what was going back, and it all arrived back to Jerusalem after 900 miles and 4 months. You know, the amount that God gives us in salvation never diminishes. We continue on with what we are given. The progress that God gives us in this life, we do not lose or use up any of the grace that God gives us. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there in verse 30, is such a blessed passage of Scripture, and it shares with us just a part of what Christ is to every believer, and we are given this when God gives us the new birth, and it, whether we travel 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 70 years after the Lord saves us, we end up with the same amount. We don't wear it out or waste it. Now, we would waste it on ourselves, but God has a purpose in that when He saves us, that He would give us Christ and He would never wear out of the redemptive value that we have when we first believe. Notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, the Lord is so gracious. It says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us." Now just think of that silver and gold and bronze that those folks were carrying across the desert. And it was very valuable, and they were very interested in delivering it to Jerusalem. That's what belonged there. Now here, when the Lord saves His people, when He saves His sheep, when He brings them to the knowledge of Christ, when He quickens them, when He raises them from the dead, He blesses them with every spiritual blessing. And in this verse of Scripture, it says, here's part of it, unto who is of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And all the life that we have after we've been born again, we don't lose a trifle of that. We never lose any of Christ's righteousness and have to provide our own. We never lose any of God's wisdom and have to get some of our own. We never lose any of those things that are found there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. We don't lose any of our sanctification over time. We end up with what we were given to begin with. We don't add to it. We can't lose from it because it is a gift of God to everyone that He has purposed to save before the foundation of the world. So God gives us these rich and precious gifts as we leave Babylon. As we leave bondage, a place of bondage, we're not rich there at all. We may think we are, but it's not the right kind of riches. The riches that we have are in Christ Jesus. We're poor, but made rich. They were given these things. They were taking them back to Jerusalem. And we find how precious they are. How much we end up with life is what we started with. Would you look with me over to the book of Exodus for just a moment as I think about the manna that was given. In the book of Exodus chapter 16, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. Exodus chapter 16. We find here as the Lord provided manna. Every day there was always enough. Every day. And those who attempted to acquire more had a mess on their hands. That's when we do it. But when God does it, there is no mess. It's always just right. Exodus chapter 16, verse 15. The scriptures share this. Exodus chapter 16, verse 15. And when the children of Israel saw it, this manna, they said one to another, it is manna, or what is it? That's what manna means. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And it tells us there in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. When they left Egypt, they left bondage, they came out of there. There was a mixed multitude with them, and there was a whole bunch of people that didn't understand what it was to leave bondage. And they had a desire to go back and eat the fish and the leeks and the melons and stuff. But there were some people that were satisfied with the feast of the God Almighty. They ate manna. They didn't have any rickets. They didn't lose any teeth. They didn't wear out. They ended up at the end, just like at the beginning, and here they did, sustained by one thing, this manna. God also gave them some quails to eat, some meat to eat, but for 40 years, just as He gives us Christ, the moment He gives us belief to trust Him as we've been regenerated, that same is what we depend upon the very last day we have breath. God's people are not depending upon anything else. Even in the day of death, we're dependent upon Christ Jesus to bring us safely across the river, if you please. And so our life is dependent upon Him. Just as those people were carrying that great load, we'd think it was a great load, probably dispersed out, it didn't make that much to everybody, but it was a great load when they got it there and put it into a pile and they weighed it all out. And Ezra could say, Guess what, folks? Not 1 gram was lost. Here it is. Look at it. Just as we enter into this life through the spiritual birth, He gives us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and that is ours every day. And when we end up this life, it's still ours. That's what we have in Christ Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. As they brought that great pile of gold and silver, I cannot imagine 24 tons of silver. I have a dozen or 15 silver dollars. I know why they got rid of those. They pull the seams out of the bottom of your pants pocket. That's why we went to paper. Well, here's 24 tons of silver, 7,500 pounds of silver articles, and 7,500 pounds of gold. They carried it across just like we carry the most precious cargo of all. The Lord Jesus Christ is given to us in our salvation. And we have Him just as much the first day of our life in Christ as we do our last day. Nothing is diminished. Nothing is taken away. Nothing is removed. We're not criticized or put down by the God of heaven by what we have done in our life, because He has saved us from our sins and given us the Lord Jesus Christ in fullness, in totality, in wonderfulness that we get to enjoy every day of our life. Well, here in the book of Psalm 78, and there in verse 24, Psalm 78 and verse 24, it gives us these words about this very subject. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. Angels' food, heavenly food. We get to enjoy the heavenly food. We get to enjoy the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in the person Christ Jesus. Over in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. I cannot imagine, even as I read the scriptures about the Apostle Paul's adventures. Some of them, he made a list one time. How many times he had been beaten, how many times he had been left for dead, how many times he had had shipwreck, how many times. I says, my goodness. Every one of them, guess what? He still ended up with the same that he had when he entered into those tests, trials. He ended up with the very richest blessings of Christ Jesus. And here, one of those times, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he said unto me, the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient, and that means more than enough. My grace is sufficient. My grace is more than enough. It's full and running over. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, then Paul says, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me. What a glorious thing it was for these people as they got to Jerusalem and unloaded their packs, that Ezra could say, everything's here. What you left with, you arrived with. Even in packing, it didn't wear out any of it. You didn't leave any behind. The deliverance from bondage was so great. The glory that they were given in their travels was so wonderful that when they arrived, they still had the same amount. I'm thankful for the salvation that God's people have in Christ Jesus, that every day is not spent in wondering, have I done enough? Because we can rest in the finished work of Christ. He's done enough. He satisfied God. And that's what is necessary. Well, as we look through here, we find in verse 35, going back to the book of Ezra chapter 8 and verse 35, we find here that these people that got back, they did something. After they arrived, they had all of this precious metal, and they arrived with it complete, just like every one of God's people will arrive in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ after they pass from this life into the next life with everything that God gave them when He saved them. They will still redound to the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They will still praise Him with their whole heart, more than we can with our heart here. The only way we praise God here is that Spirit that dwells within us praises Him on our behalf, and we're thankful for that. Well, after these folks got back there to Jerusalem, it tells us that they did something. They came, it says there, in verse 35, also the children of those that had been carried away when they came out of captivity. Now, that's an interesting passage of Scripture right there. It says, also the children of those that had been carried away. Now, to us, we were carried away in our father, Adam. We were carried away, and we were carried into bondage. We weren't there in the Garden of Eden physically, but all that has been imputed to us. And we're carried away to bondage, and we really don't even correspond to the bondage that we're in until God saves us and we're able to reflect on what we are by nature, what we were and are in the fall. Then, and then alone, are we able to say and understand what it is to be a sinner. And we don't fight that at all. We know exactly what we are. And then it comes here, it says in verse 35, which came out of captivity, taken into captivity by the fathers, and brought out of captivity by the Lord. Taken into captivity in the fall and brought out of captivity by the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. And what did they do when they got back to Jerusalem? What did they do when they arrived here? Just shortly after resting up, after this long journey, it says they offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel. 12 bullocks for all Israel, 90 and 6 rams, 70 and 7 lambs, 12 he-goats for sin offerings. All this a burnt offering unto the Lord. What are they telling us? These folks, like the church, throughout all ages, are thankful for the salvation we have in Christ. Thankful for the deliverance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they did not offer these offerings for their salvation. They offered these offerings to give a picture or a representation of their salvation. For they who truly knew, know what we know, they know what is written in the book of Hebrews because it is found throughout the Old Testament. It wasn't the offering of those sacrifices that were so important, even though they were required under the law. But it is what was the spirit, what was the belief of the person who offered them. If you came believing that these are your salvation, that's all you have. But if you came knowing that these are a representation or a picture or a type of shadow of who saved you, then this is so important. It means you're thankful for what Jesus Christ has done for you. If we take and look at this in the same vein as we take the communion service, and Lord willing, in the not too distant future, we will. But if we have the same feeling there, I am so thankful as the Scriptures share with me what Jesus Christ did on my behalf at the cross, that He allowed His body to be broken and His blood to be shed on my behalf. I am not depending upon this picture, but I am depending upon the one this picture represents. I say that to share with you a passage in the book of Hebrews. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we have so much, and Old Testament saints knew this in their heart. We're thankful it's written down, we can make reference to it now, but they knew this in their heart. Nobody that knew Christ Nobody that knew the Messiah in the Old Testament depended upon those sacrifices for their salvation. They were like Abraham. They were like Moses. They were like Abel. By faith, they did these things. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's how people were saved in the Old Testament, and it's just the same as we find they're saved in the New Testament. And they weren't depending upon those things, but they were depending upon the blood and righteousness of Christ wholly and completely for all their salvation. Book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, we have what is written here. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come." A shadow of good things to come. And not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which were offered year by year continually. Now they're going to continue the animal sacrifices there in Jerusalem at the time of Ezra. We have witness to it. That's what they're doing. But they're doing it because they're thankful for the one it represents. They're thankful for the blood and righteousness of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He alone can completely take care of the problem. Those sacrifices were mentioned there in the book of Leviticus through the first seven chapters. And they are meaningful and pictorial of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the needs. And probably there were not very many people that actually brought those voluntary offerings, because there was not very many that really were sinners. If they were, they knew who saved them. And this is a picture and a type and a shadow of that. Well, here we have this group coming back from captivity. Their fathers took them into captivity, and they are released from that captivity by the person Ezra, as a picture of the type of Christ. Picture of Christ. Brought out of captivity. And notice, as we looked at that, he did not leave the place of captivity until all were taken out. And then, he went with them in their journey across the desert. He walked the 900 miles too. He also camped with them. He was among them. He was part of them. He was their paraclete. He walked beside them. He understood the sufferings that they were going through. He understood, my feet hurt. But he was with them. And when they got to Jerusalem, they said, let's be thankful. And let's have these sacrifices that were prescribed in the book of Leviticus and remember the one that brought us out. It goes on there and says, those sacrifices which were offered year by year continually make the comers thereof perfect. They can never make the comers perfect. Those sacrifices. We'll back up just one chapter, the chapter 9 and verse 9, and it says here, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. Those people who knew something, who had Christ revealed to them, understood, this is not what is making me acceptable in the presence of God. I'm doing what the law says as required, but this is not making me acceptable before God. I'm already accepted in the beloved. I'm already acceptable before God in Christ Jesus. This didn't do a thing for it. But it goes on to say here, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Carnal ordinances, only physical ordinances. When the Lord saves us, it's spiritual. He brings us into the kingdom of God. He brings us to Christ. He brings us to the kingdom of heaven. He brings us to Christ. He brings us to the Savior. He brings us to Christ. But verse 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And then in verse 23 of that chapter it says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. The better sacrifice is the Savior, is the Lord Jesus Christ at the appointed time, at the appointed place, for the appointed reason, on the behalf of the appointed people. He sacrificed. He gave himself a ransom for many. Thankfulness overflooded these folks as they came back to Jerusalem. They had been in bondage. They had been down there in Babylon. Just as we find the folks leaving Egypt, these folks had been in Babylon. They'd been there an assigned amount of time. In the fullness of time, though, they were released. At the appointed time, they were released. Known only to God and to His prophets is that. And we have the same promise today. As the Apostle Paul wrote concerning himself, when it pleased God, that's when I was released from bondage. When it pleased God. I could not do anything to leave on my own. I could not pray enough. I could not fast enough. I could not give enough. I could not do all of the religious ordinances that were required under the Mosaic law enough. But when it pleased God, who revealed His Son in me, that's when I became thankful and never missed that again. This thanksgiving that we have mentioned here with regard to the children of Israel, Brother Lauren read that 100th Psalm. The church does always offer sacrifices. Enter the gates with thanksgiving. That's where we are. Enter the gates with thanksgiving. Would you go back there to the Psalm again? Psalm 107, as we find the allusion to those offerings, those sacrifices that were made by those children of Judah and Benjamin as they came back to Jerusalem after being in bondage. Their fathers were taken into bondage. They're born into bondage. And yet the Lord is pleased to release them and bring them back to Jerusalem, to bring them back into fellowship with the Father, and they are brought back by Ezra, a type of Christ. Here in the Psalm 107, as we see the allusion to those sacrifices, here in Psalm 107 and verse 22, the Scriptures have this to give to us, how to share with us, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's what we get to offer, the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And declare His works with rejoicing. They could say, He brought us all the way. He brought us all the way and walked with us. He brought us all the way and we had everything that we left with. We didn't lose anything. We didn't lose any righteousness. We didn't lose any sanctification. We didn't lose any redemption. And we didn't lose any wisdom because He is all and in all. Colossians, would you turn there with me to the book of Colossians as we think about those folks and how thankful they were as we commune around the table from time to time. That's what it breaks forth, thanksgiving to the Lord for His broken body and His shed blood. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Oh, to be thankful before the Lord. And yet, we find that that is just a natural occurrence of a person who has been born again. So much of that is God in us being thankful. We just don't have enough in us, but He does. And then finally, on this subject of thanksgiving, would you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians? You want to know the will of God? Here's one passage of Scripture that plainly says, "For this is the will of God concerning you." Here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything, give thanks." We've got some nuts around us. In everything, give thanks. I'm not what I want to be. In everything, give thanks. I'm not what I should be. In everything, give thanks. But thanks be unto God, I'm not what I used to be. In everything, give thanks. I don't see the Lord as I should. Be thankful you got to see Him at all. I'm just not as thankful as I should be. You're right. Everything, give thanks. For this, what's it go on to say there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 goes on to say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's my privilege. It's not my job. It's my privilege. And I think about those folks getting back to Jerusalem, and after just a very short time, it says, you know, that was a hard trip. It took us 900 miles in 4 months, almost 4 months. And our burdens were pretty heavy. But we're here. I'm going to be thankful. And they offered those sacrifices. And then finally, if you'll go back to the book of Ezra, chapter 8. One more verse in that chapter. One more verse in that chapter. Ezra chapter 8, verse 36. The scripture reads, and they delivered the king's commission unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side of the river. And they furthered the people and the house of God. They furthered. These folks furthered. There's that word furthered. It means to lift up, to bear up, to support, or sustain. They sustained. They lifted up the words of the king. Now, the words of the king to us, they lift us up. Boy, if you want to be lifted up, just get in the word. If you want to be lifted up, let's assemble together. Because that's what the word does for God's people. It lifts them up. It sustains them. That's what the word of the king, those that decree that the king Artaxerxes sent back with Ezra to be read. This is the decree. And look at that decree. God moved in Artaxerxes in every step, in every way, that it would fall out just perfectly according to the eternal purpose of God. And that's what the Word of God does. Everything is falling out perfectly according to the eternal purposes of God. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis for just a moment, and we find the same word. Genesis chapter 7. Over here in the book of Ezra, it's called furthered. Furthered, the people. Here in the book of Genesis chapter 7, we have it is used in a different way about a different object, but it gives us an idea of how this word intends to be used in our lives. Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. Now, Noah has been told to build an ark, and guess what? He did. By faith, he built an ark. That's what it tells us in the book of Hebrews. He's a preacher of righteousness, which it tells us in the New Testament. He built an ark. He built it according to the pattern given unto him, the dimensions given unto him. And then it tells us here, and the floods were 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased and bear up the ark. Now that's the same word. Bear up is the same word we find over there for furthered. That massive boat. How much it weighed, we can only guess. But you know what? The waters bear it up. Lifted it up. It was not stuck in the mud. It was not stuck in the world. It was not stuck here. It was bared up by the word, by the waters of the living God. And they were in safety. God's people are in safety. He bears them up. He carries them. It may look like a huge, massive boat out there that's been sitting there for about 600 years in building, But it's going to be lifted up by the waters of God. That's what He does. And then Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12. The same word is used over here, but it is used on our personal benefit. Isaiah chapter 53, you know what the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah is. And in this chapter, this word is used. Just as there in the book of Ezra chapter 8 and verse 36, the word furthered is used, lifted them. The word of the king, as he brought it to the lieutenants and to the governors and to what they did to the people, lifted them up. They were there on purpose, and they were building the temple and the walls of Jerusalem on purpose, and they profited in it. Here in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12, the same word is used. Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. Guess what the word is in that verse of Scripture? B-A-R-E. He bare the sins of many. What a statement. As God in His Word bears us along. And in His Word He says that He bare our sins in His body. He bare our sins. He's numbered with the transgressors and bare our And he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Look at Christ bearing the sins of his people. Successfully, completely, totally. And able to say at the end, my job is done. It is finished. I'm successful. I've put away the sins of all the sins of all my people for all time. And so, as the close out of Ezra chapter 8, and they furthered the people and the house of God. They bore them along, though delivered the king's commission. How blessed we are to have this great promise carried out in our lives. It's not by striving or struggling, it's just being the people of God. To be carried along by the people of God, or with the people of God. So, in this last chapter, we looked at how much did they carry out, and how much did they deliver? The same amount. Tons of precious metals for the use in the temple. Tons of it. And yet, they got there with every bit of it. We find out that God's people are thankful. They offered sacrifices. They were delivered from the works of their father. They were delivered from captivity, brought into place where they were free, and they thanked God by these sacrifices that they offered. And then, we conclude the chapter by saying, the king's word bore them along. Well, the work of the Lord is beyond our comprehension. The other day someone mentioned that the gospel is so simple that it is absolutely profound. Not understood by natural man. And yet God's people say, oh my goodness, there's no work in it. They delivered the king's commission unto the king's lieutenant and to the governors on this side of the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God. Brother Mike, if you'll come and bring a closing hymn, please.
The green coffee.